Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
Welcome to those of you who just showed up in the last couple minutes. As you probably know, if you do know if you read the newsletter, but you probably guessed from Greta and Monica, the title of my talk today is My Greatest Gift. And I have to tell you, I had sort of a moment of panic when I first saw it in the newsletter being printed, and I went, oh, wait a minute, that sounds like I'm bragging about, you know, this is one of my many gifts I have to the world. And that was not my intention. Anyway, I get accused of that enough. But anyway, of course, not that there's anything wrong with that, with speaking well of ourselves. In fact, I think we should all not only be aware of, but also proud of the gifts that we possess, and we should be willing to share them in public whenever we can. I love what my teacher's teacher once said, Dr. Raymond Charles Barker, who was a minister in the New York Center. He said, always speak well of yourself. It may not be socially acceptable, but it is always spiritually correct, which is great. Good statement. Anyway, the gifts I wanted to talk about today are the most meaningful gifts that I have ever received. That's what I wanted to talk about because, as some of you know, if we're friends on Facebook, last Friday was my birthday. Ta-da. So anyway, thank you very much. This was number 66, and now the numbers are starting to get real a little bit, you know. But as I accumulate more and more birthdays, and a few of you can identify with this, it seems to get harder and harder to remember any particular one. All right, let alone the presents I received. For some reason, it's funny what sticks in your mind. I have one birthday when I was 10 years old, when my parents let me invite five friends to take them to the movies, and we went and saw a movie called The Day of the Triffids. It was a science fiction movie. That's how long ago that was. I've had a couple of surprise parties, and I remember those well because I hate surprise parties, okay? But even with all of the birthdays that I've had, I can't seem to remember many of the actual gifts that I received, which is kind of strange because I know I've received some nice stuff. On the other hand, I can easily remember lots of nice gifts that I gave to other people. For some reason, they stick in my mind. I gave somebody some very nice artwork once. I gave somebody a car. That was a great deal. I gave somebody a trip to Rome. I've given some really nice jewelry here and there, and lots of cash here and there to family. And a lot of these gifts were greatly appreciated by the people who received them, but sometimes they were not. And I felt a little miffed at the time, but I think what happened is I was getting them something that I thought they were supposed to like instead of figuring out what they really did like and getting that for them. So sometimes that's kind of happens. That's a funny thing about gifts and about presents. There are always some interesting mental and emotional games going on, both on the giving side and the receiving side, that seem to complicate the process. For example, we all like to receive gifts, okay, but if we're paying attention, there are some things to be considered when we receive a gift. For one thing, there's the attitude of the giver. I mean, we could receive something really, really nice, a car, a trip to Rome, whatever, but the joy of receiving it could be sort of spoiled by the attitude of the person giving it to us. Like if a child receives a gift from a parent because that parent is always gone, always at work and never has time for the child, no gift is going to make up for the loss of love and loss of time that the parent would spend. Or if somebody gives us an expensive gift to show other people how generous they are, that kind of affects things. And then there's the kind of gift that people give us because they feel guilty about something they did and they're trying to buy our forgiveness. And that doesn't help either. Then again, other times we have trouble receiving a gift, even if it's given with total sincerity and the best of intentions, because we don't think that we deserve it. Or maybe because we think it obligates us towards the giver and we're embarrassed because we don't have something of equal value to give back to them. There seems to be this assumption with some people that gift giving has to be this balanced exchange where what I give to you has to be equally in value returned. So I guess what I'm saying is, as I look at all this stuff, it was all running through my mind when I was putting this together. You would think that the act of giving and receiving, which is so important to us, would be easier. But for some strange reason, especially when gifts are involved, it isn't. It's difficult for some of us. Now, Another thing about gifts I like is the idea of gift wrapping. All right, that's another part of gifts. I've seen gifts at weddings, especially, that are almost too beautiful to unwrap. You ever see any of those? They've got sort of hand-painted paper with gold trim and raw silk ribbons with all the curly cues and all that stuff where the gift wrapping probably costs as much as the present that's inside. The only problem is sometimes the outside is so amazing that we feel a little let down when we see what's inside. Okay? What I really like when it comes to wrapping, I like it when it's fairly ordinary, and I mean really ordinary, like, you know, just brown wrapping paper with duct tape or something like that, you know, or a paper bag, brown paper bag or something, and you open it up and there's a diamond bracelet in there, or two tickets to London or something like that, you know. That the surprise is a big part of the gift. It's a big part of the gift. Now, if you think about it, that's kind of like life in some ways. Sometimes we get impressed by a fancy exterior and we start having all these fantasy expectations about what the interior is going to be like. But when we look inside, we find the equivalent of a pair of socks or some underwear or something like that. People go through an experience like this when they buy a fancy house in a fancy neighborhood and they found out that they don't like the neighbors or there's some sort of a problem with the house. Or they go into this job with all the status of the flashy title and lots of money and they think that's great, but then they get there and realize they've got to work 80 hours a week. Exterior, interior, difference. Sometimes it happens when somebody falls for somebody absolutely gorgeous and moves in with them, making a very quick decision that they regret just as quickly, that it wasn't really as smart as they thought. On the other hand, you take the flip side of that, there are a lot of things we tend to overlook or ignore because the way they look on the surface doesn't catch our eye. It doesn't impress us. This could be people, it could be a lot of different things. But as we mature, hopefully, we tend to look a little more closely. We look past the exterior, both thoughtfully and carefully, to find things sometimes that are of such great value that they change our life for the better. But the most wonderful gifts of all are the ones that we can give completely to one person and still have plenty left over to give to others or to give to ourselves. These are what we might call spiritual gifts. And there's some interesting characteristics about spiritual gifts. For one thing, they don't cost anything. You can't buy them in a store. You can't get them online. And it feels as good when we give them as when we receive them. These are what we could call gifts of the heart. And these kind of gifts can be varied. They can be as small as a smile to a stranger or a kind word to someone. They could be as big as taking care of an aging parent or a disabled child. That's on a large scale. With these things, with all of these things, the act itself is not the gift. The real value lies in the way the gift is given. The way the gift is given, the consciousness of the giver. If it's done out of a sense of resentment or obligation, whether that's displayed or not, it's not going to mean much to either the giver or the receiver. But if it comes from a place of unconditional love and respect, then it's always perfect. Perfect. That's why Emerson, great quote, I love Emerson so much. He once wrote that every gift must be a part of ourselves. Every gift we give must be a part of ourselves. He meant it must be part of our spiritual self, or part of what we might call the best of us. And the beautiful thing is, when we do take the time and the effort to give the best of ourselves to someone else, to give the very best that we have to offer, mentally, spiritually, in every way, our best only gets better. Our best only gets better. Now, every so often we hear a story that touches our heart in a positive way. It could be a story about a dog being rescued after an earthquake, 3 days after an earthquake. I saw that story earlier this year. That just, you know, sort of touches your heart. It could be a group of school children who are doing something for the environment. It could be any random act of kindness that's done for no other reason than to bring a little beauty or love or compassion into a situation that really needs it. Like 2 weeks ago, if you were here, I talked on 9/11 about 9/11. I talked about how people in the midst of the worst tragedies, whether they're natural tragedies like earthquakes and stuff, or whether they happen to be man-made tragedies, which we have a lot of, there are people who are stepping outside of the actual circumstances and giving the best they have to offer, simply human to human, one human being to the other, simply because they can. simply because they are there. And I can't help thinking when I see that kind of generosity of spirit being given so freely from stranger to stranger, whenever these things happen, I think about these people who try to push their own idea of religion on other people, and I think that those people should be paying attention. Because when you see someone giving that kind of a selfless gift, that's what God really looks like. That is what God really looks like. But there's something else we need to recognize. Whenever this happens, God is not just showing up in one particular person in order to help somebody who was in trouble. Because the truth is, in every human interaction, it's all God. In every interaction, the giver is God, the receiver is God expressed as a receiver, and the situation they happen to be in, good or bad, is all part of a divine process working exactly the way it's supposed to work. Now, Monica mentioned this. Whether we realize it or not, we all have an endless supply of gifts to give and share. Not just our talents, our individual talents to speak or write or whatever it happens to be, or our abilities, but our humanity and our spirituality. Those are gifts that we have to share. And there are lots of different ways that we can do it. Some of us are parents, so we give to our children unconditionally. Some are teachers giving of themselves to their students. Some are caregivers. We could be a good friend and do that as a gift. We could be a good spouse or a helping hand or a local volunteer or just an ear to listen. That's giving a gift. For some people, their only gift is to be a bad example. But we need some of those, okay? But we all have something. And if we die without giving away the gifts that we have, it's a waste. It's a terrible waste. Now, one way to make the spiritual gifts that we have even more powerful is to recognize that they don't come from us, they come through us. All right? Most of us know that. We got that. We figured that out. But some people think that just means God's using us to do them. But the gifts don't really come from God either, as some people think. These kind of spiritual gifts are actually God's gift or life's gift to itself. Life's gift to itself, because God and life are one. We talk about that all the time. In The Science of Mind, Dr. Holmes says this. He says, the eternal gift is always made. The gift of God is the nature of God, the eternal givingness. That sounds kind of woo-woo, you know, religious. And then he says, God cannot help making the gift, meaning the gift of life, because God is the gift. God is the gift of life. So our gifts, the gifts we have, these spiritual gifts, are part of us when we come into the world, because we come into the world as part of the one, as part of God. The problem is, shortly after we show up here in this world, the message of who and what we are and the awareness of the gifts we have brought with us into the world start getting confused. They start getting obfuscated by all the stuff we hear. From the very beginning, many of us, not all, but many of us, are taught to be helpless recipients of what the world chooses to give us. And frequently, that's not very much. We're taught that there's only so much to go around, and if we give too much, we're not going to have anything left. We're taught that gifts are bargaining tools, and we shouldn't give to other people unless we can get some benefit out of it. And worst of all, we're taught to believe that what we have to offer isn't worth very much, so we don't even need to try. But by the time we're 6 or 7 years old, most of us have accepted the false belief, and it is a false belief, that the problems of the world are far too complicated to be solved or helped by anything that little old me could bring into the world. And as a result, we do something very sad. We keep our most precious gifts locked inside of us, in a box, in a closet, pushed way in the back, and we forget about them. We forget about them. At this point, there's something I want to say that you have heard me say many times, but I want to say it again. You've heard it from all the speakers here. It is not our intention here on Sunday morning to tell you things you do not know. The reason we're up here is to tell you things that you may have forgotten. That's the only reason we're up here. This place here, this center, the teaching, the speaking we do, excuse me, sorry, whoa, that was scary. Anyway, is here to remind you how magnificent you are. That's the only reason this center is here, how important you are to the world and how much you have to offer. Now, that's the gift that we offer to you, but you have to accept it. You have to accept it for yourself. Now, when I say that you and I are wonderful and magnificent, I'm not coming at that from an egotistical, self-centered way, which is what some people think it is. Because the truth is, spiritual giving, which is the best gift of all, can only work if we come from a self-aware, spiritually aware, God-centered perspective. You and I are here because it is the purpose of Spirit to express life through an amazing variety of interesting, exciting, and creative ways that we are an important part of. That really is the essential truth of our being. But if we listen to all the mindless chatter that goes on television, on the internet, at the water cooler, in the break room, wherever it happens to be, to some people, that doesn't seem to be the truth at all. To a lot of people, the world is a dangerous place. It's a scary place. We got to be very, very careful who we interact with. And gifts like kindness and love and compassion seem to be the exception rather than the rule. So the spiritual question here is, why are we making such a mess out of something, life, giving, and receiving, that's meant to be so precious? Why are we doing that? That's what we got to talk about. Now, a big part of the problem, both individually and collectively, is a lack of patience, practice, and commitment. Those three words, and I'll tell you what I mean. We came here, repeating something I said a minute ago, into life with our gifts already inside, already installed. The software is already there. Okay, it's there. But first, we have to learn how to use it. It's like Windows 10. Yeah, it's there, but I don't know how to use it, so it doesn't do me any good. Okay? Because that doesn't happen automatically. We don't know how to use our gifts automatically. It's just like, if you think about it, we were born with the ability to walk and talk, the ability, but it took a little time to get good at it, right? You may not remember it, but it probably took you a little time. I mean, it helped to have role models to watch. We saw people around us walking and talking, so that gave us something to aspire to. And we fell down a lot while we were learning to walk, and we did a lot of goo-goo gaga while we were trying to learn how to talk. But eventually, most of us in here, if not all, learned both of them well enough to be able to carry on a polite conversation and walk around while you chewed gum without falling down. Most of us finally learned that. So we were satisfied. Great, I got it. But for some reason, a relatively few people continued, once they had learned, practicing, moving their feet, even after they could walk, until they could run marathons, or dance beautifully, or climb mountains. Some people continued, after they learned how to talk, practicing with their voice, developing that vocal gift until they could speak several languages or sing like an angel. They went that one step further. They were born with the same basic gifts that you and I are, but they had the patience and the commitment to continue practicing until the gifts became something that touched the world, not just their own individual life. And the names, you could list them. I wrote down a few. Jesse Owens, Billie Jean King, Michael Jordan. Those were kind of the athletes. Frank Sinatra, Mariah Carey, singers. Martha Graham, Mikhail Baryshnikov. How about Gabby Douglas? Okay, at the Olympics. You know, she learned to walk and talk just like you and me, only she took it to another level, all right? Sure, they had special physical gifts and special talents, but without developing those gifts, consciously developing those gifts, each one of them would have been just another apparently ordinary person walking and talking their way through life. That's what they would have been. So, let me ask you this. Those are physical gifts, walking, talking, singing, all that stuff. What about the spiritual gifts? All right, does it work the same way? Can we develop our spiritual gifts, these things that cost nothing that we all have, to a world-class level? And what if we all did? What if we all did that? What kind of a world could we create if we encouraged in ourselves and our children and our neighbors and our friends and everyone we meet, by our example, the passion for justice of Martin Luther King, the courage of Helen Keller, the creativity of Edison or Steve Jobs, the compassion of Gandhi, the intelligence of Einstein, the love of Jesus, the self-awareness and inner peace of the Buddha, and the list goes on and on. All of those same gifts are inside of us. All of those gifts of those people are spiritual gifts. We can say, I can't be Gabby Douglas. No. Can you be a Gandhi? Can you be a Dr. King? Can you be a Buddha? Can you be a Jesus? Yes. We have that inner ability. You see, the greatest gift we can give is not something we have, it's something we are. It's something we are. But before we can give that gift, we have to be aware that we possess it. That's first. And we have to be willing to let it go. Willing to let it go. In terms of our spiritual gifts, now, we don't let them go. We let them out. We let them out. In other words, we set ourselves free from our self-imposed limitation that are causing us to not give away the gifts we have. Now, giving money and stuff is easy. You can wrap that up, buy stuff, have people wrap it for you. That's easy. And we've all heard for a long time, like Tracy was talking about, the more we give, the more we receive. Okay? If you don't believe that, it's true. I see it every day. But the non-physical, non-quantifiable spiritual gifts work exactly the same way. For example, if we don't feel like we have enough time, anybody here ever feel like you don't have enough time? Several of you. Okay. Giving the gift of our time to a worthy cause or to another person, both willingly and generously, will teach us to appreciate our time and use it in a more meaningful way, causing us to appreciate the gift of every moment. Gandhi used to say, I have an exceptionally busy day today, so I need to meditate twice as much. Very, very interesting. If we give more love and kindness to people, practicing until we get really, really good at it, more and more life is going to pour into our life from every direction. If we practice giving the gift of peace in every situation, that means at work, it means driving on I-285 or 400, at the grocery store, watching the news, anywhere we are, if we give that gift of peace by our example, our presence will become a gift to everyone around us, but it'll also be a gift back to us, because that's the way this works. It works in a cycle. That's why I decided years ago, quite a few years ago, that I don't need presents for my birthday anymore. Now, I like receiving them, especially from people I love, but I don't need any more stuff. The gift I want is the gift of awareness of the gifts I already have and the gifts of others. That's the gift I want. I mean, I know what my faults are. I have a mother. My mother's gift is pointing out my faults, I guess that's it. And it isn't that hard to point out the faults in other people. But learning to honor the gifts in others and learning to honor the gifts in ourselves is so much more powerful, because that creates a space for the gifts to be expressed, both for us and for others. You see, it's not good. It's not enough just to think well of ourselves or think well of others. We need to start seeing each other, ourselves and each other, as what we are, which is a precious gift of God. Not from God, of God, all right? Because life is a gift, which means you're a gift, and so am I. But a gift has no true meaning unless it comes from the heart. Comes from the heart. Okay, I'm going to close with a story, because people remember stories, and this is one I heard years ago, and if you've been doing this as long as I have, you hear a lot of stories, and you're not sure which ones are true and which ones aren't, but it's a nice story. And it was told by a man named Charles Dixon. I think he's a writer. And it's a story about a man who stopped at a flower shop, and he was going to get a dozen roses for his mother's birthday and send them to his mother, who lived about 200 miles away, which was a little too far to drive. So he set it all up at the flower shop, and as he was leaving the store, he noticed a little girl who was sitting on the curb outside the store, and she was crying. So he went over there, as we would have, and he said, what's wrong? And she said she wanted to buy a rose for her mother, but roses were $2, and she only had 75 cents. So then he did what you and I would have done. He said, wait right here. And he walked inside, and he bought a rose, and he brought out and gave it to the little girl. He says, are you going home? I can take you home. And she said, I will if you take me to see my mother first. He was a little confused, but she got in the car, and she directed him to a cemetery nearby, and she went in and put the rose on a grave that had probably only been there a month, 6 weeks. Obviously, it was relatively new. And then she came back to the car, and he took her home and dropped her off. Then he turned around, and he drove back to the flower shop, and he canceled his order to be sent to his mother, and he bought 2 dozen roses, and he got in his car, and he drove 200 miles to his mother and gave her the flowers for a present. Now, what you've already figured out is the flowers were not the gift, right? Showing up with that love and heartfelt everything for his mother was the gift. And that's showing us that we are the gift. We are the gift. Our attention is a gift. Our love, our support of the people in our life, our connection, our time, our heart, all these things. These are the gifts that matter. My offering of myself to you as I am at the spiritual level and my acceptance of you as you are, once again, at the spiritual level, is the gift of God to itself. That's the greatest gift. And the more we allow this kind of an exchange to take place in our family, in our neighborhood, in our country, on the planet, all the stuff, all the places where it's not going on, the closer we're going to be to creating what we might call a heaven on earth, which as far as I'm concerned would be the perfect gift to leave for the people who are coming after us. And the good news is we don't have to wrap it, which is nice. All we have to do is pass it on, because there's no greater gift than that. No greater gift than that. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine, and so it is, and so it is. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Take a breath. Take the ideas that resonated. I give them to you freely. The others set aside. Let's just know that the gift has already been given to each of us, through each of us, as each of us. The world is full of people, and each one of us is a precious gift to the world. Each one of us has the divine presence within us that allows us to make the world a better place, not just for ourselves, but for every other person. And as we recognize this, not just as a truth for ourselves, but as the truth for every other person, we begin to deal with each other in a divine way. We begin to think better thoughts. We begin to see the beauty in everything that exists. We begin to give a hand wherever we can. We begin to recognize that the world is basically good because the world is God. So as we see all the things happening in the world, as we see the anger and the war and the fighting and the arguing and all these things, first and foremost, we do not participate. Secondly, we do not condemn. And third, we give it no power. We give power to the gifts of life that every person has to offer. We give as best we can, as often as we can, everywhere we can. And we allow others to do the same. We accept others' opinions and ideas as gifts to our own awareness, and we use them intelligently. We listen with love. We speak with love. We live as love. This is the truth of who we are and what life is. So as we recognize this, we give thanks for the opportunity to be here. We give thanks for the wonderful world that we are a part of. We give thanks for the divine presence that expresses itself in as and through us. We give thanks for all that we have been given and all that we have yet to give. And in doing so, we know that our words have power. Our consciousness goes out and expands into the one mind and makes this the truth for us and for every person everywhere. Join me in saying, and so it is.